Please turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 15. It's on page 1049 of the church Bibles. Luke 15, and reading from verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of God. Please turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. No one likes going to the dentist, do they? No one likes going to the dentist. Although I know that it's good for me, and I know that it keeps my mouth nice and healthy, I understand that the process that might happen there may indeed be pretty painful. What may be exposed could well hurt, but for my own good. In Luke 15, as Jesus starts to draw attention to the Pharisees, the older brother in the story, and actually to us, he begins to expose something painful, but what is actually for our own good. And what the Lord Jesus does is to say that how we respond to the welcome Jesus gives to sinners exposes three things. How we respond to the welcome Jesus gives to sinners exposes three things. How we view God, how we view ourselves, and how we view others. Because that's what's happening here with the Pharisees. Do you remember who the first part of the story was about? Remember back in verse 1 and 2, we're reminded that on one side of the room, we have tax collectors and sinners. Those who are very obviously younger brothers who party hard and live wild. Who run away, who distance themselves from the Lord Jesus. But who, when they come to their senses and come back to him, are welcomed with forgiveness and mercy. When we pick up the story again in verse 25, we're told, meanwhile, while the party's going on, the older son was in the field. While everyone has been partying, while the fattened calf has been barbecued, while everyone's enjoying themselves, the older boy, he's been out in the fields putting in a day of graft. He's been working away. And he heard music and dancing. So he calls one of the servants and asks, what's going on? And one of the servants in verse 27 says, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And he's not a happy bunny at all. Look how he responds in verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Everyone else is enjoying this great party, the greatest day of the father's life. And the older brother's outside, miserable and angry, refusing to go in. And the loving father comes out to plead with him. And look how he responds to his father. Look in verse 29. Look. Look. That word there means, hey, you. Oi. Not, oh, daddy. Loving father. He says, hey, you. I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. How did he view his father? How did he view his father? He thought that he had to keep his father happy by slaving for him, by doing his duty, and that if he did his duty and slaved and worked really hard, then his father would reward him. He thought his father was someone to be appeased. He thought his father would be happy if he served him, no matter with how little joy or love or care he had for him. It was what he could do for his father. So his father would turn round and say, well done, you deserve all these good things that I'm going to give you. He wants the father to be just like him. He's not happy that his father forgives. He's not happy that his father is quick to show mercy and grace. He wants him to condemn the wayward son and praise him instead. And this was one of the exact problems that Jesus is zeroing in on the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who are sitting listening to him, the older brothers, if you like, in the story. Oh, they were very respectable. They worked hard at keeping God's law. They read their Bibles. They fasted and prayed. Some of them every single day. But they'd misunderstood and misrepresented the God of the Bible. You see, when Jesus welcomes sinners, it exposes how we view God. It exposes how they viewed God. Their hearts are exposed and they're not happy because they want a God who acknowledges what they've done, what they're like. They want a God who's quick to condemn people that they don't like. They want a God who's quick to condemn people who don't measure up to their standards. They don't want a God who loves to forgive lost sons. They want a God who loves their hard work and their efforts. Do you remember who the father represents in the story? I said it a few weeks ago. The father in the story is the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus who loves to show grace to lost sinners. And he's telling the Pharisees here that the God of the Bible, the God they claim to know and represent, that they've got it wrong. They've missed the point. The God of the Bible has always been about grace, Jesus says. And he turns up to show them exactly what he's like. You see, the problem with thinking that, you know, if God will only praise and give me what I deserve, we've got a big problem. And the Pharisees didn't realize that they had a big problem. Because the Bible makes it clear that none of us deserve anything good from God. That all of us, deep down, the condition of our hearts is that we've turned away from him. All of us are just like the younger son. All of us have wandered off to a far country, turned our back, disregarded his ways, done our own thing, sinned against him. Oh, and yeah, we can try to be obedient. We can try and think that, you know, God will just love me if I am good and nice and rhyme off a list of things that he might be happy with. But the truth is, none of us deserve anything good from God. And any good thing we have is a work of his grace. And as the Lord Jesus shows these Pharisees that anyone who was willing to turn and come to him will be forgiven, he exposes that they've not understood the God of the Bible at all. And grace exposes that these older brothers don't actually like their father at all. And grace exposes what we really think of Jesus. Older brothers don't like how he operates. Older brothers think that he should operate like them. That he shouldn't be concerned for lost people. He should be concerned about those who are looking to justify themselves. And if we are here tonight and we consider ourselves Christians, or perhaps you don't, if you think that if God operates on the basis of what you do, if you think that God operates on whether you can please him, of what you bring to the table, or if that you can manipulate him with your good deeds, you've misunderstood the God of the Bible who is revealed supremely in the person of the Lord Jesus. And I wonder if what Jesus is teaching here to these Pharisees is that when you see someone shown grace and they become a Christian and that stings just a little bit because you've been working so hard and you think you deserve something from God and this person's been shown grace and that just stings a little bit, I wonder if it shows you've misunderstood the God of the Bible the whole time. Does it sting? Does it sting when people are forgiven as easily as turning to the Lord Jesus? Does it sting a little bit that your good deeds, your hard work, don't count anything before God? That you have to go to the cross of the Lord Jesus and confess that you're a sinner in need of his grace? Does it sting? Because it stung those older brothers and can reveal the heart of a Pharisee. I want to tell you about a friend of mine in Nottingham. She was a younger brother in every sense of the word. She was wild. Wild. And she came across a group of people who claimed to be Christians. And they told her that because of her wild lifestyle, because of the things she'd done in her past, God wasn't for her. She couldn't be forgiven. And she came along to our church one day, and Tricia and I got to know her and her husband really well. And she said, "Doogie, I don't think I can ever measure up to God." And the look in her eyes when I told her that it's all about the grace of the Lord Jesus, to see that penny drop when she realized the freedom that comes from trusting in him, that it wasn't about her efforts, it wasn't about the things that she'd done or not done, the tears started to flow. Because the God of the Bible is a God of grace. Jesus loves lost sinners. He loves to welcome them. It's not about the deeds that the Pharisee has done. It's all about Jesus. And if Jesus exposed how they viewed God, he also exposes how they and we view ourselves. Look again at verse 29. The older son answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." The father's mercy towards a young son, it exposed his deeply ingrained feelings of self-righteousness, his deeply ingrained feelings of superiority. Look at what I've done. Look at how good I've been. I've never run away. Where's my fattened calf? And I've certainly never acted like he has. Where's my reward? All along, he had been trusting that he had been a good person and that he deserved better treatment. There was a movie in the 1980s about the life of Mozart. Some of it was made up, but it weaved the stories of Mozart, the composer, and a middle-of-the-road other composer who was there at the same time called Salieri. Now, we're told that Salieri, early in his life, tried to make a pact with God. He said, "God, if you make me a great composer, then I'll try and be good." The movie's called Amadeus. And he tries to be good. He tries to, give his money away to the poor. And he tries to be chaste. He doesn't chase after other women. And he doesn't get drunk. And then Mozart turns up, and Mozart is portrayed as rude and vulgar and horrible, but infinitely more gifted than this middle-of-the-road composer. And Salieri gets jealous that God has gifted Mozart when he's deserved to be gifted more. And he ends up being responsible in the film for Mozart's death. You see, the moment that Salieri realized his service wasn't gaining him anything, when he realized, when it became clear that he didn't know or love God at all, and not in any real way, all he was doing was trying to put God in his debt. All he was doing was trying to twist God's arm. Then what was revealed? That he wasn't a righteous person at all. He wasn't a good person. And he was complicit in a man's murder. And we see just that thinking in the life of this older brother. The older brother has spent his life trying to be a good person, trying to do his best. But when he's exposed to the grace of his father, you see his real heart attitude coming out. He hates his father for showing him grace. He hates that his younger son has been given these good things when he's deserved it. He's shown that deep down his true colors are not that he's a good person at all, but he is a sinner who is lost and in as much of need forgiveness from his father as his younger brother was. And it's again, Jesus is zeroing in on the Pharisees who are there in the room that day. They thought highly of themselves. They thought they were respectable. They thought they were righteous people. But they could not see that by wanting to exclude the tax collectors, the sinners, by wanting to say that God's not for you, that he won't have anything to do with you, they revealed their true heart, that actually they weren't good people at all. They were just self-righteous. They just thought they were better than everyone else. And when Jesus welcomes sinners and shows them grace, it will often expose the opinion we have of ourselves. Either we'll rejoice that someone who was lost has come to know the Lord Jesus. Either we'll rejoice, or either we'll think, why has that happened to them when I've been more deserving? Why do they deserve God's goodness? Either I will understand what the Lord Jesus has done for that person, or I'll be angry just like the older brother. Now, I want to point out two dangers here for Christians in particular. You see, the first is when it comes to our sin. You see, it's easy to forget, as Johnny reminded us, that every day we need the grace and forgiveness and mercy of the Lord Jesus. I was really helped by a little book on the psalm that we read, that we prayed together at the start of the service. It's a little book called Whiter Than Snow. I don't have it with me tonight. But it's just a page or two on each verse of the psalm that we read. And these words struck me this week. When we sin, we can easily start to say, I wasn't at fault. If it wasn't for that other person in the room, if it wasn't for them winding me up, if it wasn't for what they did to me, I would have acted different. I wouldn't have become angry. Actually, I was really patient for most of that conversation. And instead of appealing to the Lord Jesus in the face of my sin, I start to function as my own defense lawyer, and I present a list of arguments for my own righteousness. That I'm not that bad. And if you've been a Christian for some time, it's easy to think, actually, I'm doing okay. My battle against sin is going well. I'm pretty holy. And the idea when I sin is that behind my defense is that what I need to be rescued from is the person who made me do this. Here's the point. It's not just your sin that separates you from God. Your righteousness can as well. Because when you're convinced that you're a righteous person, you stop seeking the forgiving, rescuing, and restoring mercy of Jesus. And what's actually true of our sin is that time after time, we've blown it. And the only defense we have is to turn back to the Lord Jesus and say, I need mercy and I need forgiveness. And that's the first danger when it comes to sin, that we've got the wrong view of ourselves. But also there's a much more subtle way as well, a much more subtle danger. You see, I wonder if we get angry with Jesus, not perhaps when he saves undeserving sinners, but because when he's saving undeserving sinners, he's not giving us the life that we think we deserve. Lord, I've been faithful. I've been a Christian for many years. I come to the prayer meeting. I take notes in the sermon. Why don't you give me what I deserve? Why don't you give me a better life? Why don't you give me my heart's desire? And Johnny touched on this morning so helpfully, that the situations we're in are a gift from the living God. And we have to thank him that he has put us there, that he's given us his grace to get through those situations. And actually, let me just point you to one other place, and that's to the cross once more of the Lord Jesus. Because that's where we see how much he loves us. Where he shows that what happened to him is what we deserve. That's the place where we see that he is merciful towards us. That he is gracious and compassionate. And wherever he puts us, he gives us the grace to face those situations. The Lord Jesus is so loving and compassionate. And so often we have this wrong view that we deserve a great life from him, or an easy life. We've got the wrong view of ourselves, folks. We've got the wrong view of our sin. We've misunderstood the living God, if that's what we think it's about. But there's one other thing that the welcome Jesus gives to sinners exposes. And that's how we view other people. Look at verse 30. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Do you notice the older brother? He can't even call him my younger brother. He says, this son of yours. The anger's dripping off his tongue. This son of yours who's squandered your property. And look who he's squandered them with. And yet you kill the fattened calf. He's trying to tell his father here how he should act. Looking down on his younger brother. In just the same way that Pharisees and teachers of the law look down at the younger brothers across the room. Surely they can't be forgiven. Surely the grace of the Lord Jesus isn't for them. No, surely not. I've had to examine my heart this week. As I've tried to think, if there are groups of people that I perhaps look down upon. And the irony is, as I was chatting to one or two friends, perhaps the group of people I'm most likely to look down upon and become a Pharisee over are people I think are Pharisees themselves. Let me explain what I mean. People who maybe go to church once a year and think that ticks the God box. Or people who I think go to a church where the cross of the Lord Jesus and the Bible aren't central to everything they do. Perhaps I look down on those people who I think are trying to just tick the religious boxes and think they'll be saved, that everything will be okay because they've done certain things. And maybe there's just a little bit of me that thinks, they can't be saved. The grace of the Lord Jesus is not for them. Is it? And what it exposes is that it's just as easy for me to become a Pharisee looking at them, thinking that the good news of the Lord Jesus is for a whole bunch of people who yes, maybe younger brothers and maybe lost, but it's certainly not for those older brothers. And it's quite easy. I'll just look down on them. It's Pharisee speaking. It's the Pharisee in my heart wanting to break out. And I must repent when my heart gives me away. Did you notice we're not really given an end to this story? Not really. We don't know how it was resolved. Did the older brother join the party? Did he stay outside angry? It seems that the father still has a lost son. And this time it's the older brother. It seems that he is just as estranged, just as far as the young son who was in the far country that day. Let's make it really, really clear. Lots of people think that they know and love the Lord Jesus. Lots of people think that if they just tick boxes or if they do certain things, then they are part of his family and part of his kingdom. The reality is, Pharisees don't even realize that they're lost. This older brother didn't even realize he was lost. He didn't realize that he was as far away from his father as he could possibly be because of this terrible heart attitude. And the good news of this story is that the father doesn't give up on him. The father went out to plead with him. It tells us in verse 28. Verses 31 and 32. My son, the father said, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father wants this older brother who doesn't even know he's lost to come in to experience his grace and forgiveness. And the good news of this story is that Jesus is seeking lost people who don't even know the lost. Perhaps tonight, for the first time, Jesus has exposed your heart. And you've realized that you're lost. And you've been an older brother. And it's all come out. It's all come to your mind. The Lord Jesus says to you tonight that you can be forgiven. Maybe this is the first time you can turn to him and come and join the celebration with all of us, all these younger brothers. For us who are Christians, we've got a duty to seek out people who don't even know that they're lost. That's one of the great responsibilities the Lord Jesus has left us with. That's why next Saturday we'll be out on the streets of Enfield, out and about handing out Gospels of Luke. Because people who don't know they're lost, we want them to realize that they are, that they can be forgiven. It's the reason we have all the evangelistic material we have. Not just so that younger brothers can come to their senses, but older brothers who don't even realize they're lost, they can come and be part of it too. They can be experience the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Who will we invite to the carol services? Who will we give the evangelistic material away to? Do you have someone in mind? A younger son? An older son? Who will you ask to come and hear about the good news of the Lord Jesus, that they may experience his forgiveness for themselves? Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful that the Lord Jesus loves to rescue lost sons. Those who are younger sons who, by their actions, look wild. By their actions, look as if they've got no chance that they can experience forgiveness. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus also forgives older brothers who don't even know they're lost. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus exposes our hearts this evening. Help us to respond to him. Help us to be thinking over this week of the people we can be sharing his good news with. Help us to take the responsibility he's left us with, to seek out those who maybe don't even know they're lost. Make us bold, we pray. In his name, amen.